Greetings and welcome to another episode of the Wandering One podcast, brought to you by Wandering One Studios and your host, yours truly, Link Flores. How are you? What are you up to? How's your mom and them? Today is Wednesday, February 5th, 2025, and this podcast is late as balls. And I apologize, but we'll get into it in a minute. First and foremost, thank you all for the support. Thank you very much for all the people who have been following along on Patreon, sharing the podcast with friends and family members, posting it to your social media sites, and especially a special shout out to the paid patrons over there on the Wandering One Studios Patreon. I had some content planned, and then it kind of slipped my mind to a degree. Like, I knew it was happening, but just like time got away from me, and my wife took off for a convention. For a business convention. And so I spent almost the entire day when I was supposed to, or I was going to, do some extra content. I spent the whole day cleaning. I meant to do the cleaning while she was gone. There's some like real deep cleaning kind of stuff that you guys, if you own homes or whatever, you'll know that there's like little nooks and crannies and places you don't think about cleaning behind, like rolling out your refrigerator or sweeping behind that one bookshelf that sits in the corner, you know? And so I was doing a lot of that. And the when I started moving everything around and rearranging stuff, I realized just how much dirt had been like shoveled into corners and stuff. And that wasn't great because I didn't have a mask on. So if it sounds like I'm talking through the top of my head, it's because I'm congested right now. It feels like I have a cold, which I know I don't. It's just the overexertion and the breathing in of all the dirt and dust and detritus and chemicals from, you know, your bathroom vent fans, you know, make sure you get into those. Anyway, I'll get into that in a minute. I'm saying that I meant to get more bonus content out. It will be coming, and it'll probably be Friday that I'll record it and drop it on Saturday this week. So just make sure you message me over on Patreon and hold me to it. Or you can check me out over on Blue Sky. We're Wandering One Studios is on Blue Sky right now, and we're going to discuss that, as you can see the title of this episode will address in just a moment. Still on my little break. At the end of this week, though, once I clear all my stuff off of Meta platforms, I will probably return to streaming next Monday. We're going to see how things go over the course of the week. Hopefully I can, you know, kick this sinus congestion thing, and then I'll be able to get into top gear again. Oh, as you can tell, like, I'm kind of worn out because I've been coughing and sneezing, and it's been a treat. But yeah, check me out over on Twitch. Yeah, links are in the description as well. Twitch.tv/linkib. And I'll be going back to some more role-playing games again. We're going to try to be more role-play centric. Hopefully finish Baldur's Gate 3 before the end of this year, or at least before its anniversary. It's 2-year anniversary at the end of the fall, I think is when it is. Yeah, I never finished. I finished it once with friends, but I never beat it myself. So I'm going to try to look to at least beat Baldur's Gate 3 and maybe one of the games from the Final Fantasy Pixel Remaster Collection that I got from the Nintendo Switch from the WAF. But yeah, more role-playing games all the time. And then some Marvel Rivals, too. I need to get back to that for a little bit. But we'll see how it goes. And yeah, let's get to it, man. Like, been a week, bro. So I'll tell you what it was. What I was saying is, like, when I got all this stuff, I moved all the furniture. And like I said, when you start moving furniture, especially, you find stuff that you didn't think you would find. You know, like, I don't mean just cat toys and loose change. I mean, you'll find like dust bunnies. You'll find, you know, laundry, like a dryer sheet that got floated out of one of your baskets when you were doing laundry. And it just curled up underneath the bed somehow or underneath the dresser. You find all kinds of random detritus and shit in your house. And one of the things that prompted this whole move to clean while the missus was gone is that she's actually really sensitive to like allergens and whatnot. So naturally, I mean, I'm pretty particular about keeping things clean. And occasionally we have like a cleaning service come through. And they do a mediocre job most of the time. The last crew that we had at our old place were actually pretty phenomenal. But this new crew, I'm not sold on them. I don't think they're doing a bad job. I just don't think they're doing a good enough job for what they're getting paid. You know what I mean? Like, I'm all for people like working your wage. That makes sense. But you're getting paid a decent amount of money to do a job and you won't do it correctly. Just weird shit. You know what I mean? Like, oh, we'll mop the floors, but then we'll put the, you know, area mats down right on top of the wet floor. Well, now thanks. I got mold growing underneath my mats because you assholes put these things down. So bad to the point where I was noticing I was getting like athlete's foot. I'm like, what is going on? I wash my feet. I wear clean socks. I dry them. And then I looked and was, when I was cleaning the other day, and I moved all the mats and stuff out of the way, because these people keep putting wet mats down, or mats down on top of like wet floors, there was like this brownish kind of mold that was growing in the bathroom and in the tile. So every time I walk through the bathroom, I'm barefoot, and I'm just scooping this shit up all over my feet. So then I had to get down and bleach the grout. Well, the more bleach and Pine Sol, I guess I'm using Pine Sol to mop, bleach to scrub corners, yeah, and then Simple Green is my usual go-to cleaner because it's not as chemically, you know, aggressive in the smell. But between that and then trying to clean out the vents in the bathroom, which, by the way, don't ever do that if you don't have to. Never do that. Let a professional do that because they've got hoses and bags and gear and shit like that. The reason I did it was because I went to go and take a shower in the guest bathroom once, so I wouldn't wake up the wife, and the moisture and the humidity, I guess, collected in whatever the fuck it is that was stuck up in there, which is like dust, like from everything, you know, it's like fucking hair and, you know, toilet paper crumbs or whatever fuck you shake off when you're in the bathroom, and it compiled up into like a crust inside this fucking vent fan. And no matter how clean you are, that there's always dust floating around in the air, right? But over time, this stuff had just accumulated to such a degree that when the moisture hit it, it got heavy and it fell and it started falling down in the bathroom. So I'm like, I'm gonna vacuum all that shit out. Well, that was a huge mistake as well, because then the more I started to vacuum, the more of it started to fall out and I couldn't catch it all and blah, blah, blah. Get a professional to do it. It's just not worth it. Some people are like, I could do this myself. That's one thing you don't want to do. Vent cleaning, fuck that. Hire a professional service. Get that done right. This way, if it's jacked up, it's their fault. And also, excuse me. Sorry, I couldn't hit pause in time. Oh, I couldn't hit pause in time. Yeah, then you don't have to sound like this. Oh, God, I'm going to get some tea. Hold on. It'll only be a second for you guys, but I'll be right back. And through the magic of editing, I'm back. Or basically the magic of the pause button. Sorry about that. I'll make sure I put a timestamp in there. Hopefully you didn't actually have to hear that cough. But yeah, don't do vent cleaning on your own if you don't have to. Don't do vent cleaning on your own. And don't do electrical work on your own if you don't have to. If you've got an alternative, if you know somebody, if you have a service that you can recommend, do that. It's just not worth it. So anyway, I was doing all that stuff. And it was fine. Like, the physical part of it isn't really as much of a problem as it was just breathing in all that crap. So, yeah, that's why I sound like this. That's why I coughed so violently into the phone. I've been doing that all day. So, like, my back, my stomach, my shoulders, pretty over it. Like, I'm kind of sore. That's where the pain's coming from. So it feels like you got, like, a cold or the flu. But I need a little bit of this tea to keep my voice from cracking. There we go. See, it actually helps a little bit. There you go. Kids, orange pekoe or black tea, a little bit of lemon and honey. It helps a lot. So yeah, that's the reason why I was like, you know, I sound like I've been like gargling radiator belts or something. But yeah, I mean, I got a lot of the stuff done and still got to do my office, her office, and a couple other little things. I wanted to vacuum out the car, but you know, it just be what it is right now at this moment. I'm not too stressed about it. I was more upset that I ended up getting sick, but then I remembered, oh yeah, I started cleaning the vents and dusting before I ever put a mask on. So naturally all that stuff that I was sweeping, mopping, dusting, you know, just kicked up and I just was breathing that all in. So my body's like, get it out. Good times. Good times. No good deed goes unpunished, right? All right. Good job. No, I'm just, I'm good. Like I said, kicking my butt right now. I'm drinking this tea with honey and lemon. I'm gonna make some pasta with some red sauce, add some spinach. I think I got some onions. I put some fresh onions in there. Much better. I put some fresh onions in there. Hopefully that'll help soak up whatever's inside and clean it out. Get it out! But yeah, good times, man. Good times. We're gonna get into some of the other stuff too, because there's a couple things that were bugging me. Besides, obviously, we're gonna get to the politics stuff. I'm not gonna just let that go. There's some gaming stuff as well. But somebody was talking about this the other day and said, and they were saying that, I guess they're like older people will say like, you know, back in my day, such and such thing was better or whatever. And he's like, but the real context is that they can't cope with the changing world and they just blindly criticize what they don't understand. I got to tell you guys something. And this is from somebody who's like right through middle age, but I was always kind of an old soul, I guess. Like, been in my, I was pretty over, you know, being a kid come 30, like, you know, all that party bullshit and whatever. By the time I was 30, I was pretty much over it. You know what I mean? Even in my 20s, I was kind of like a little bit more serious than most of my contemporaries. But I'll tell you this, objectively, a lot of things were better back in the day. And it's not because I'm thinking like, you know, like, well, how far back are you going to go with this remember the time shit? Let's just go back to when I was a kid. All right. We had a president who wasn't actively trying to start wars with, you know, all of our allies, who wasn't attempting to basically imperialize the United States of America and colonize sovereign territories. We didn't have political parties that were fomenting so much division in between one another and in between families that, you know, people were uninviting one another to family dinners and they're getting into fist fights when they see each other. We weren't in nearly the dire economic straits that we're in now. You know, our technology wasn't actively tracking us and monitoring every step and every word. So yeah, in those ways, there some things were better. You know, you might not like it, but that doesn't really matter if how you feel. Facts don't care about your feelings. We'll say this over and over again until people get it. But facts don't care about your feelings. So you can feel any kind of way that you want, but the truth doesn't matter. Truth doesn't care about that, I mean. You know what I mean? The whatever it a thing is, that is what it is. So you just feel like, I don't believe that. I don't give a fuck. You can not believe that an 18-wheeler, you know, will run you over if you're standing in traffic, but just by the laws of physics, if that thing keeps moving, you're getting smashed. You feel what I'm saying? And I think one of the interesting things about particularly, you know, I don't know where I fit, like Gen X, but anyway, like under Gen X and younger, there's a lot of people, even in my generation, who kind of have this preconceived notion that they have, what's the word that I'm looking for here? That they have some kind of ownership over being on the right side of history, or over just they can be the arbiters of what is and isn't good and acceptable in society. And to a certain degree, that is true because the generations that are before them will not be affected by the changes that are happening in this moment, right? The idea of, you know, a wise man plants a tree knowing he will not sit in the shade of its branches. Same kind of thing, you know what I mean? I know that what people are doing now, there are younger people who are trying to change and shape the world. I may not live to see these things come to fruition. But that doesn't mean that you should just sneer or look down your nose at the years and decades of experience that other people have that can advise you and guide you and help you shape your decisions going forward. There's just a certain wisdom in being able to appreciate wisdom. I know people hate Louis C.K., but whatever. The dude had some funny points and he was legitimately funny. Let's not lie. We all laughed at Louis C.K. when he was not, you know, jerking off in front of somebody who asked him to do it. But he had the one thing where he said, you know, he's like, 20-year-olds are boring. Nothing has happened to you. You haven't done anything. You have no life experience. He's like, just by virtue of the fact that more shit has happened to a 50-year-old, they're smarter than you because they've seen more stuff. They've had more experience. So they know more things than you do. And no, there's just really no arguing that. Like, over a long enough timeline, an older person will weigh out in terms of, you know, wisdom if they're in experience, if nothing else, as opposed to somebody who's in their 20s or even their 30s. So, you know, you might not have to like it, but that's just true. More shit has happened to them. They know more stuff just about life in general. Maybe they don't know everything about computer programming, or they don't know how to use their iPhone. We make fun of them because ha 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 boomer. But you know what they do know? They do know how to mend broken relationships with somebody that you haven't talked to in decades. You know what I mean? Here's a funny one. They know how to pick up a phone and talk on it like human beings used to do which is what we made the fucking phones for. And now if somebody picks up if a phone rings around somebody, they break out into a fucking cold sweat. It's weird. I'm just saying, like, they've had more experience. They've dealt with more shit. So the things that we're so freaked out about as younger people, we're like clutching our pearls and shit. They're like, fuck it, whatever. Suck it up. You marry, you're going to be fine. So reading this person's statement, I'm learning now that, you know, to pick my battles. I love to make friends on the internet, as my wife calls it. And I'll pick a fight over a point with people just for the fuck of it, because I got nothing else to do and it's Thursday. But this one in particular actually irked me for 27-year-old me, 37-year-old me, 47-year-old me, and hopefully 87-year-old me. Like, every point of my life, past, present, and future, was like, who the fuck do you think you are? And it really actually bothered me that, you know, that this arrogance of, you're just afraid of change, man. No, I'm not afraid of change. I'm afraid that you're stupid. And just by the very fact that you're willing to dismiss the knowledge and wisdom of somebody who's older than you tells me even more so that you are. And like we talked about a while back on the podcast, but, you know, it's funny that like a younger generation wants to be heard and, under, you know, wants to be represented and all this shit, but you don't want to be criticized. You can't just run around without any ramifications to your actions, no consequences, and no judgments. This whole thing about no judgment, I understand like not coming down on somebody, but you absolutely should make judgments because judgments can save your fucking life. You know what I mean? There's like, we talk about value judgments or using your best judgment. That's a judgment. It's literally built into the term. You know what I mean? If you see that there's a pool of gasoline and there's a fire right next to it, do you walk towards those two things or do you go and find another way around? That's using your better judgment. You're making a judgment call. So judgment isn't necessarily a bad thing. But the problem is that people look at every single thing that's being told to them, even a simple critique or a pointing out of a serious flaw or even a potentially catastrophic mistake or action or choice. People actually take it as an attack. And it's so hard to correct people when they're constantly on the defense because, you know, they're not willing to listen and you don't want to leave them alone because you care about them. But after a certain amount of time, you're like, you know what? It's like Chris Porter's thing. He's like, you know, you tell a kid, you know, don't fucking stick a fork in a socket. You know, don't put the fork in a socket. Don't put the fucking lick it then. Yeah. Like after a certain amount of time, you just go like, I don't care what you do at this point. As long as you hurt yourself and learn the lesson, I guess that's how it's going to have to go down. Because you're not listening to the gentle, you know, correction of somebody who cares about you. You want to be a dumbass, be a dumbass. So I think that was really irritating me. And I'm like, I sound like crotchety old man, but let's just be honest. This is who I've been for the past like 20 years. So this is really nothing new. this isn't a new mode for me. I've always been like a little bit curmudgeonly. I think I would be a really dope old dude though. I think I'd be really fun as an old guy. Of course, I would think that about myself, right? How arrogant is that? Yeah, good times. Let's see this phone, there's some new stuff that I wanted to get through, and I know it'll take fucking 3 years if I do it each one point at a time. Let's go through the fast stuff, the stuff that we... Here's the craziness, right? Like, we're in this era where, Downer Chump the other day? Like, Downer Chump and the Maggots? Sounds like a fucking weird, like, alt-rock band. Anyway, all those MAGA fools and, you know, their orange savior are slowly and surely dismantling the American system of government and governance and oversight piece by piece so that they can chop it all up and sell it to the highest bidder. And we're seeing some of the repercussions behind that lately. Now, some of this stuff may seem fairly coincidental. Some of this stuff may actually be related. But, I mean, you think about it. We have 17 inspectors general that were fired, and the restrictions on getting gifts from lobbyists for politicians is certainly being lifted. Oh no, now we can pay you because, you know, we're big oil. We're going to pay you money to help us push through bills, right? Here's Venezuela agreeing to take in illegal immigrants and provide transit in a deal with Donald Trump. So fuck Venezuela for that shit. That's really kind of shitty. And you think it's going to be like, oh, well, they're offering them safe harbor. No. They're actually kind of like on the side of like, hey, if they're criminals, we'll take them. You don't want to keep them in your country, we'll take them, we'll lock them up. And then they may not do that. You know what I mean? They may turn around and go like, hey, you know, we get it. That guy's an asshole, but you can come and kick it here with us. And they just let him free, you know, but I mean, how many people are breaking their necks to go to Venezuela? You know? So it feels like there's something else going on there underneath that's kind of sneaky and weird. The executive orders to institute tariffs on Canada and Mexico. Both of those countries said, if you do that, we're going to hit back. And they are. That just happened this week. 20% tariffs, I believe, on Canadian and Mexican goods, which means that the U.S., how they work, as you guys have heard us to reiterate almost ad nauseum, is that the tariffs are paid by the country who's importing the goods. So that means that the let's say if it's, you know, Chiquita for bananas or whatever, right? So they're importing goods, you know, and I know it's not from Mexico, but let's say Mexican avocados, right? That's the thing. So they're importing goods and the wholesaler or whatever, the retailer that's buying them here is going to pay the tax to have those things shipped in. Mexico doesn't pay that tax. So then the company who buys the stuff because they need the stuff to do whatever they're doing, let's say it's somebody who makes like a guacamole salsa kind of thing, they need to pay the price to get those goods here. So in order to do that, because dumbass doesn't know the difference between a tax and a tariff, in order for them to continue to do that and operate it not losing any money, because why would anybody sacrifice anything, right? They have to escalate the prices on the goods and services that they sell to people stateside. Now, it may not seem like it hits everybody all at once, and it probably won't. But over a long enough period of time, the supply chain reaches out to everyone, and everybody gets touched to a certain degree. So as we start to see the escalation of these stupid trade wars, you're going to see the escalation of your goods and services. So good on them for that one. Real fucking smart. Yeah, there's there's another thing that happened this week. Oh, the DC collision. A Black Hawk helicopter crashed into a DC passenger plane over the Potomac River. And guess what Orange Boy says? He's blaming DEI. They must have been DEI hires. You don't know shit about what happened. The first thing they say is DEI, DEI. That'll be the rallying cry. And the problem with that is it's just simply not true. Also, a lot of times, like we've mentioned before, DEI programs actually benefit white women overwhelmingly over other sections of the population. So what are we talking about here? Are the DEI hires the ones that you've been appointing to cabinet positions, Mr. Trump? I'll let you take your, I'll listen to your comments from, you know, off the air. But yeah, so he's terrible. He's the worst. And this is kind of coincidental, but it also still happened. A small jet crashed near Philadelphia, with 7 dead and 19 injured as a plane landed in a residential and like small commercial area. And people are looking at like, you know, there's another accident just this week. I think it was just today. And then another one earlier in the week. And they're like, planes are falling out of the fucking sky. And it's terrifying because air traffic controllers are under a lot of pressure lately. I guess there's been some kind of hiring freeze and then also negotiations with their unions and the airlines aren't working out so well. So now you've got people who are understaffed, overworked, underpaid, and they're frustrated, plus they're probably tired, and then they're under-equipped to handle the challenges and the stresses of their job, and shit goes to the wayside. And that's fucking scary. All of us should be afraid. And that's because, you know, again, when you start to take away regulation and you move government out of certain spaces, the government is supposed to be there as a function of like a check and balance against, you know, corporate interest and greed being able to take over citizenry. You get rid of that, I mean, a company like Amazon will do whatever the fuck they want, which is classic because that's actually here. There's a class action lawsuit that's being bandied about against Amazon for violation of contract because, here's another thing, subscribers that subscribed to Amazon Prime before, I think it was December of 2023, were promised ad-free streaming, and now they're not getting that. You pay for Prime, I'm sure you've probably seen it recently. You pay for Prime and it says, your following movie will be presented with limited commercial interruptions and you're not doing shit about it. I'm not blaming you. Everybody who loves Amazon and all the variety and the Prime deals and Prime Day and woo, woo, woo. But Amazon's so deeply connected into all of our lives now that to be able to like extricate it from your daily life, it almost feels like you're removing your own kidney. As we've let them weave themselves so tightly into everything, you know, with AI and, you know, assistant bots and smart this and same day delivery that, we've ceded, you know, our birthright. You know what I mean? Just like the story of Esau, sell our birthright for a pot of soup. We sold our ultimate freedom and agency for the illusion of convenience. They're not getting anything to us any differently than they would if we had paid them directly for it. You just make you feel good by throwing you a discount every now and again, but they're still charging you out the ass for the stuff. And now, the stuff that you paid for, I don't want to see ads, so I'm paying this premium price. Now you're putting ads on my shit. You breached the contract. So the contract, the law, class action lawsuit's looking to seek damages for people who are signed up before that particular date. I want to say it was somewhere in middle December 2023 when Amazon redid their terms and conditions. They were like, if we're going to do this now. And they're like, no. So they're saying they're being sued for false advertising and breach of contract, which would be great if they actually managed to stick Amazon for that. But let me just put it this way. Whatever you get back is probably going to be pennies on the dollar. Jeff Bezos is still going to be able to fly himself back and forth to Mars 3 times, and we're not going to see anything for it. Because the judge will probably do some punitive shit, and it won't be anything that's substantive enough to prevent Amazon or any other company, for that matter, from attempting something similar. So, I mean, I would say this. If you have streaming services at all for anything or subscription services, go back and check your terms and conditions every year just to make sure you're on the up and up. I'm going to have to do the same thing with Netflix. There's another subscription service for just stuff around a house that I'm going to be looking at, because I just don't want to get caught. You know what I mean? I don't want you guys to get caught either. So take a look at that. And then again, we're rolling around more, swing through some politics shit. Tennessee signs a bill that will felonize state legislators who vote against Trump policies. That seems patently and wholly unconstitutional on its face. If that isn't voter discrimination, or if it's not interfering with the outcome of an election, I don't know what is. Telling you I can send you to fucking, I can make you a felon. As your state senator could become a felon if they vote against Donald Trump and his policies in the state of Tennessee. That's what I'm talking about here. That's what we're talking, they're like, we'll put you in prison. We'll turn you into a felon for voting against it. What the fuck? And because their votes are matters of public record, they're going to know who did it. It's just another way to latch another system of control on top of people. And this is what they want, which is weird. It's not weird because, it's kind of human nature to want to take over shit. But why would you go to such lengths to demonize people that you could catch more flies with honey than vinegar? These motherfuckers aren't even using honey or vinegar. They're using a mallet. I don't get it. And it should bother everyone. I don't know how many of you are really pissed off or whatever about it, but Tennessee, my heart goes out to you and your legislature, because you're about to eat shit right now behind this. I hope this gets shot down, and I hope whoever brought this bill actually ends up getting censored, because they shouldn't be part of the legislative process at all. Just to even propose this bill seems wholly unconstitutional. It almost feels like it's an act of aggression. In a way, you could call this domestic terrorism. If you had the right lawyer, you could probably spend for that. Anyway, just throwing out an idea. I'm just saying, if you know somebody in the Tennessee legislature and want to let them listen to it, maybe we could just spitball some ideas. I'm not a lawyer, but I can think creatively. here's another one. God is a Geek staff quits en masse. Now, God is a Geek was a religious website that kind of played into nerdy and tech ideas, gaming, music, mostly like gaming and tech, right? But the whole staff decided to quit the website after their founder, Calvin Robinson, mimicked Elon Musk's Nazi salute during a service that he was attending, and not a preacher either, because he was actually a preacher in the Anglican Catholic Church. So he's a a priest. But he was defrocked by the Anglican Catholic Church after they watched him do that shit like on national TV. They're like, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? So the Catholic Church, again, this is the same Catholic Church who silently consented to the slave trade. They're like, we don't do that. I believe they were also at one point during the Nuremberg trials or something like that. Somewhere in there, they were convicted of or implicated in the shifting of Nazi gold and monies and such. But anyway, I don't know if it was necessarily the Anglican Catholic Church, but still, the church as a whole. There this dude decides, hey man, if Elon Musk can do it, I can do it too. And they were like, nope, can't do that shit. Here's the other thing. He was a black dude. So I don't know what the fuck he was thinking. Like, dude, they'll probably let Elon Musk get away with it because, oh, he's autistic. Yeah, what part of the autism does that? I ain't never seen it. I know friends who are autistic. I got friends who are basically like family, and they got autistic kids. I never seen them do that shit before. That was a choice. But this nigga tried to do it. They were like, absolutely not. You are not nearly white enough to get away with this, my good man. And they rained on that motherfucker. And he deserves it too. So what? Screw him. I don't feel bad for him. That's what you get when you follow along in the footsteps of Elon, the boy Wunderkind Musk. Stupid ass. Play stupid games, win stupid prizes. But anyway, with all this crazy politics news, there is a sliver of hope. A Democratic representative from the state of Texas by the name of Al Green. No, not the singer, but it kind of looks like he could have been maybe at one point. Is looking to bring new articles of impeachment against Donald Trump over his assertions that he wanted to have America, the United States in particular, I mean, take over the Gaza Strip. And in a way, the way that this is being framed is that in an attempt to take over the Gaza Strip, the way he's framing it, I guess, is like it plays into ethnic cleansing. Which is kind of what's happening, is the Israelis are killing the Palestinians en masse, and they're basically committing a war of genocide. No one's calling it what it is, but it's basically just genocide, which is really sad for the people who are supposed to be God's chosen people to turn around and act in a wholly unchristlike or ungodlike way, because they're not, you know, Christians or Jews, but like then the whole acting a holy God ungodlike way, and basically try to eradicate a group of people off the face of the earth. That was like you had this done to you back in the 1940s. Did you not learn your lesson then? You know what I mean? Like, what are we doing here? What are we talking about? So, yeah. By the way, free Palestine, support Palestinians. Just in case you didn't know where I stood on that issue. But yeah, Representative Green, let's go ahead and read this quick quote here. He said, ethnic cleansing in Gaza is not a joke, especially when it emanates from the president of the United States, the most powerful person in the world, said Green on the House floor Wednesday. The prime minister of Israel should be ashamed, knowing the history of his people, to stand there and allow such things to be said. Ethnic cleansing has been a crime against humanity, and I stand here today in the well to denounce what was said, to denounce what the president said, to denounce the complicity of the prime minister of Israel, and to remind the people that Dr. King was right. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. End quote. That is Representative Al Green, the Democratic representative from the state of Texas, giving a little golf clap here. Thank you, sir, for speaking sense in these crazy, crazy times. And I hope nothing else is stuck to Teflon Don, which I hate. But then people have been doing things really stupidly to try to take this dude down. Hopefully this is going to be done smartly and pull him out of there. I don't have a lot of faith that that would be the case, but who knows? We could find out. And that's all the politics I can handle right now. I'm still trying to breathe. If you give me a second, I'm going to take a sip of this tea before I cough up a lung again. Oh boy. Here's the pause button. Hold on, damn it. Okay. Sorry about that. I had navigated away from the recording page, so I couldn't catch the pause button in time. I'm like, oh, here we go. But yeah, I think that's going to do it for now. There's so much stuff to cover about the madness that is the American governmental system right now. I would literally have to do an extra 2 podcasts a week to try to keep up. And I just ain't got the time. And especially today, I don't have the energy. So sorry, guys. We'll catch you next time. All right. Let's do what the main topic is for me, at least anyway. And the discussion is why I'm leaving Meta platforms and switching over to Blue Sky and hopefully Neptune if and or when they actually go live. It should be pretty simple for anybody who's been following the podcast for a while. We've seen that these tech billionaires, particularly the heads of Google, Amazon, Tesla, and Facebook, not to mention more than a couple others, have decided to cradle underneath Donald Trump's, ruffly feathers and to suckle the teat. And I just don't feel like in good conscience I can continue to support those platforms. It's bad enough, like I said earlier, that like Amazon Prime has woven its way so much into practically everyone's lives that it is kind of like, I made a bad analogy earlier, like trying to say that it was like trying to take out your own kidney to get rid of Amazon. It's actually more like trying to remove the internal parasite that the alien xenomorph would plant in people. And the more you pull on it and try to take it out, the more it seems like it curls itself tighter around your internal organs and makes your life more miserable. So, yeah, I understand that this is not a decision that anybody else will necessarily make. You may decide that you don't give a shit about this And that's fair. That's your judgment to make. You may decide that it's actually, despite supporting them by either paying for services or continuing to feed your data and your information through their products and, you know, and their services or whatever, that, you know, the cost benefit analysis for you versus, you know, how it impacts your life personally, professionally, or whatever, is just not worth making the jump. That's also a fair assessment to make. These kinds of choices are not the kind of thing that I'm going to be like, you have to do what I say. Because you're all adults, I would assume. You don't have to do what the fuck anybody else tells you except for what you and your, you know, your God believe. You know what I mean? And occasionally the government. But for me, it just felt like being part of Meta platforms was not being true to my own principles. And I know that making a switch to a completely different social media app means that I also end up running the risk of that app doing the exact same thing and me having to start all over again in a place where I'm not familiar with the, you know, the ecosystem and how to navigate it and how to most effectively engage with people without overwhelming them or inundating them with content on a daily basis. Or, you know, some people are like fucking every 3 hours are hitting you with something. I don't like being that guy in the first place. Like, I don't like being on social media like that at all in the first place. So yeah, naturally that does worry me and it does bother me to a certain degree, to have to take that risk and to make that move. But I felt like ethically for me, and then just for my conscience, you know what I mean? It seemed like a smarter move to make at the risk of maybe people going like, well, I don't care. I'm not doing that. You can do that if you want to, but I'm not following you on that. I'm like, well, that's fair. But you won't see me anywhere else because that's where I'm putting my content from now on. If it's not here on the Wandering One Studios Patreon platform, or on this podcast, or on my website when I finally get that shit working, it'll be on Blue Sky and hopefully Neptune if things go well. But we'll see how that shifts out. But yeah, that's really the main reason why I'm leaving. I'm diametrically opposed to the way that they've literally cradled up to Donald Scrotum, and it's unabashed too. And you could tell how much of a priority it was for him to have the supplication of these giants of industry, I guess. Because his ride-or-die people from the MAGA camp, including his own vice president, had to sit behind him and the tech bros at the inauguration. These dudes don't even have government jobs, and they got front row seats like they're at a fucking Lakers game. That should let you know exactly how he feels about even the people that were supposedly his best supporters. As soon as you're not providing enough of a benefit for him, he turns on you. And if you think that doesn't mean the American people, you are woefully and grievously making an error in judgment. He could not possibly give a shit about anybody who's below his pay grade. It's just not in his nature, and he has no reason to. So why would he? Which is why it's hilarious to me to watch all these MAGA people, you know, finally, you know, realizing, like we said, the leopards ate my face, right? They're like, what? You mean Donald Trump didn't bring down prices? I thought them tariffs was going to pay for all our stuff and it was going to be cheap goods. No, stupid. That's not how tariffs work. Huh? You know what I mean? Like, you hear that shit, you know, or somebody going like, hey, I thought he was going to get rid of all the Mexicans. Oh, he's going to. And then when they're all gone, guess who's going to pick the fruit? Guess who's going to, you know, build your houses? Guess who's going to, you know, do all the other dirty, just unglamorous jobs, I guess, that you don't want to do? What do you mean I got to watch my own kids build my own house? Get the fuck out of here. Yeah, that's going to have to be you, Vinny. So, you know, they're finding the fuck around and find out portion of this whole debacle is kind of hitting them right now. And I'm not going to lie. While it's uncomfortable for me as a human being to sit here and watch it, it is absolutely golden to watch people who've just basically dick rode Trump all this way, find out at the end he's just basically slapping a $20 bill on their ass and booting them out the door. It's like, oh my God. Dude, he wouldn't even treat Stormy Daniels that way. He basically treated you like a whore. You whored yourselves out to Donald Trump. You sold your souls and you bent over for him. And literally, I'm making this analogy for a reason. I'm not trying to be crass. I'm being quite honest. You got fucked. And in the process, you fucked everybody else too. And I have some empathy because I don't think anybody with any kind of spirit or soul really wants to see another human being suffer or struggle just from, you know, ignorance. You know, if you're if you're apathetic, if you're just plain out wicked, you know what I mean? I can see where somebody might be like, yeah, you know, you get a little bit of what's coming to you. But just because you're just dumb, or not even dumb, let's just say you're just uninformed, or you're being misled, I can have some empathy for that kind of thing. But when you actively and avidly latch on and hold so tight to this mistaken and ultimately flawed and highly dangerous ideology that this idiot and his little cult of followers have been holding on to, and you embrace that so tightly, I don't have any sympathy for you anymore. Because that means you didn't give a shit about me. You didn't care about my friends. You didn't care about my family. You didn't care about your own friends and family. So of course you don't give a shit about me. You know, you didn't care a damn about your fellow Americans. This guy that you're so, you know, so worshiping released all the protesters, that the insurrectionists from January 6th. He released almost 1,500 people. These are people who actively stormed the Capitol gates, broke into the Capitol building, who assaulted police officers, who killed people and injured dozens more, possibly hundreds. They actively tried to turn over the government of the United States by interfering in a free election. And he just said, eh, fuck the police. That was Donald Trump. That's your guy. You tell him that. You tell those people in your life. Tell him I said it. That's your guy. Back the blue? Bullshit. That's what your boy said. He's sending troops to the southern border? For what? Most of the fentanyl that comes into the United States is actually brought in through legal ports of call. They're brought in through boats, they're brought in on planes, they're brought in cars, and most of it is foot, ground, like it's foot or ground traffic. People crossing over the border legally who are United States citizens. They're bringing in the drugs, not Mexicans. Your problem isn't immigrants. Your problem is that Americans are a bunch of dumbasses and criminals. There, I said it. You know what I mean? Migrants aren't trying to break the law when they come over here. Do you know why? Because they are already illegal. They know there are consequences for the illegality of their actions. If they get caught doing some fuck shit, they get to go to prison and then they get kicked the fuck out. So they're not trying to make waves. You know what I mean? Oh my God. It's so stupid. The logic doesn't even hold. I mean, this ideology of like a criminal just flaunting themselves in broad daylight. The days of Capone are over, dude. You only see that shit in Batman comics. That is not happening in real life. I'm a criminal and I'm going to live out loud, see? Everybody's going to know my name. No. These people are hiding. And they're hiding in plain sight because they still need to exist. You know what I mean? They don't have a fucking bat cave where they could go hide out or some shit. So they have to exist in society, which means they're laying as low as possible. They're not causing crime. They're not bringing in drugs. They're not rapists and all this other bullshit. There's average people who are trying to find a better life and they're trying to get by. So they're not causing crime because they're trying to stay here so they can work their ass off for peanuts on the dollar, for stuff that we make them do in the bottom of the barrel jobs that no other person wants to do, and they can send the money back to their families in hopes of building a better life. Period. The fact that we have to explain this all is fucking mind-boggling to me. It's simple logic, too, because it's not a complex logic. I'm doing something illegal. I don't want to get caught. So I don't make any waves and cause trouble, so I don't get caught. It's that simple. I'm not a criminologist, and I figured that out. Okay? And you're that thick that you can... I'm smarter than you, then. Not you, the listener. You, the MAGA person out there who just can't let it go. We need to get rid of all the Mexicans. It's like Ralphie May said, good, get rid of them. You're going to get white people to pick your fucking fruits and vegetables? They're going to want $25 an hour. Your salad's going to cost you $97. It's just true. You're not getting black people back out in the fields that they just got out of. So who going to do it? So weird, man. The logic just doesn't hold, and I don't understand why. Anyway, that was another political thing I didn't mean to go into. But see how it all spirals down together? It starts at, you know, I'm just going to click here and I'm going to accept terms and conditions. Eh, I'm on Facebook. Yay, I'm on Instagram. Woo, here we go, Amazon Prime. And then slowly, if you start to trace all the roots back down and see the societal and economic cost that it's being paid, I just started doing the math on it. And I'm like, I'm playing into the system. And as little as I can, because I'm in the world but not of it, I don't want to be a participant in this. So I'm moving on to a different and hopefully ultimately greener pasture. Funny that it's called Blue Sky instead, but you know what I mean. And I hope you guys will consider following Wandering One Studios over on Blue Sky. That's where the Wandering One podcast will, you know, announcements will be. They'll be on, you know, I'm trying to see if there's a way that I can loop it back to Patreon. So if you're a Patreon follower, that would be the only thing you'll get from me, really, is if I have a content blast coming up that like I want you to know about, or maybe I'm doing some kind of event or giveaway or something like that, or podcast. That's all I'm really trying to push through Patreon. I'm not trying to, you know, rodeo you with a bunch of extra mail emails that you're not going to want to read. Same thing with your notifications for Blue Sky. Like, I'm not trying to just inundate your feed with content. You know where I'm at, and if you want to find me, you can find me there. So, but I just want you to know where you can find me and why I'm making this choice ultimately. Because it's not easy, and it's going to be difficult, and the transition period is going to suck. But if you're willing to make the jump with me, I'm willing to do my best to honor your commitment to this podcast and my commitment to you to try to continue to provide quality content or at least make you laugh once in a while. So, oh, you know what? Actually, we were talking about laughter. I had some notes here too. I don't like the term content creator. I know it gets thrown around a lot. I know that that's what the job description ultimately is, but I like to think of myself as more like edutainment. So like a little bit of education, a little bit of entertainment, you know, and blah, I don't want to just be content. Because content just sounds like filler, you know what I mean? Like fluff. It doesn't add any value to your life. I think the same thing as like saying, like, it's like I'm basically the packing peanuts in your Amazon Prime package. And it all comes together, see? I don't want to just be filler because you could get that anywhere. I want to provide some actual value to your life, you know, open discourse too. That's why I ask you guys to write emails, because I don't want to just be one voice crying in the wilderness. It'd be nice if somebody else was to be like, hey man, I heard what you're saying. And I think this, let's have a debate. Let's fucking go. I read your emails on the podcast. I don't give a shit. I'd love to hear them. But one thing I don't like is this ideology behind content creation. And it's not even creative. I'll tell you one of the biggest things for me is reaction videos. You know what I'm saying? Not like, you know, oh, we see a baby who tastes a lemon for the first time and see their reaction to this thing. No, like a real-time reaction or an interaction that somebody has, you go, oh, wow, cause effect, watching that happen, great. I hate reaction video content where it's like, I'm going to watch this thing, you watch me react to it. Whoa! It's like, what? Who the fuck is that for? I'm just going to watch you just react to it. Like, you're not going to provide any incisive commentary. You're just going to be like, wow, that was amazing. Follow me, like, and subscribe. Yeah. Get the fuck out of my face with that shit, man. I can react on my own. I watch the video and be like, yay, thumbs up. People get so crazy with it. It's like, because the worst ones are the ones who key up their reactions. So they're like, they flip backwards in their chair. They scream or they like fake cry and shit. It feels disingenuous, and it feels like against the spirit of like online creators, like, you know, YouTube creators from back in the day. And again, this kind of ties into like things are changing. Yeah, but they're not changing for the better. Then what's the point? You know what I mean? This is just vapid content. It's not expressing any new thoughts or ideas. It's not creating anything. It's just drivel and dreck for the sake of making noise and putting out content. You have to have content. I need to put out 3 videos a week so I can get the content, so I can get the ad revenue from YouTube. I'm like, dude, fucking, at that point, just get a regular job. Fuck. The one that really, oh my God, this one really pisses me off. I can't stand it. And like 9 times out of 10, if somebody sends me one of these things, I'll just click like, you know, like or haha on it, but I almost never watch it. Maybe like, I'll say like, let's put, I say 9 out of 10 is a little bit much. I say 7 out of 10 times, I just click the respond button and just like the like button or haha or heart or thumbs up or whatever fuck, and just keep it pushing. Because I can't stand this type of video content most of all. I think I hate this more than watching people do these fake scenarios where they have a confrontation and there's some kind of like moral lesson at the end, which is so up its own ass it makes me want to vomit. But this kind of reaction video I actually hate the most is when you see somebody and it's a split screen video. And on one side, there's somebody who's doing something. Let's say maybe they're doing like a cooking demonstration, but they're putting their own funny spin on the cooking demonstration. And on the other side of the video, is this, you know, content creator, it's packing peanut stuffing. And they just to put their own fucking face out there next to somebody who's actually creating something, doing something funny or interesting or, you know, incredible even. And then the other half of the video is this just random suck monkey who's ha 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 ha. They're like fake laughing through the whole fucking video. I saw one of these where this lady was laughing as soon as the video started. Nothing had happened. The dude was just standing there. And she's like, ha 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 ha. Or they play that stupid ass laugh track over the person's audio who's actually doing the funny thing. Oh my God, those videos make me crazy. They make me crazy. Because now you're trying to tell me you should laugh. This is funny. I get to make that determination, not you. I don't need to see your face. You want to reshare this thing? Fine. But if you want to be funny, why don't you make something funny? You want me to like your stuff because you found something that was funny? I can find the same shit on the internet too. I got the same internet. Trust me. I don't need you to curate funny for me. And I definitely don't need to see your goofy ass grin ha-ha-ha-ing through the whole thing when nothing's ever happened. One of these videos, literally nothing funny happened for like, it's a minute and a half long. Nothing even remotely funny happens for like the first 25 seconds. And this stupid chick is just going, putting her hand over her face, wiping away non-existent tears like she's laughing so hard she's crying. And I wanted to reach through the fucking thing and just stick her in the eye with the finger. Just fucking stop this. Go read a book. The fuck are you doing? And it really, I mean, I'm not even kidding. It elicits such a visceral reaction from me right now. I thought it was just because I feel like I've got a cold. No, I'm actively sweating right now because it makes me so furious. It actually raises my blood temperature. And I'm trying not to cough into the microphone, but oh my God. All right. I think I figured out what I hate most about this kind of content, though. And I'm using content on purpose here. I think my primary issue, or the overriding issue with this type of quote-unquote content, is that it's both presumptive and dismissive at the same time. I'll explain. It's presumptive because the creator who's doing this, especially when they're doing this, take somebody else's video and laugh over the whole damn thing, like fake laugh over the whole thing. They're presuming that you don't have any concept of or a sense of humor. Like you have no concept of what comedy is. You have no sense of humor. And so they're going to instruct you from the very beginning about how you should feel about this content that they're producing. And that irritates me because I don't like people to make presumptions about my intelligence. You know what I mean? Like, let me surprise you, okay? Maybe I am as stupid as you think I am, but give me an opportunity to prove it. The other thing I think is, like, it's dismissive. Because it also, at the same time, by saying, I don't think you have a sense of humor to know that this is funny, so I'm going to presume that you don't have that, then I'm also going to dismiss the fact that you probably could figure this out, but instead of letting you come to the natural point of where the joke would actually begin, I'm just going to go ahead and let you know, this is funny, you should laugh. And like, how do you manage to do both of those things at the same time and make none of it fun? It literally sucks the joy out of watching some of the funniest content I've seen will be stitched together with some dickhead who's just sitting there, you know, their backwards hat on, fake laughing through the whole thing. And I'm like, I don't like this. You know what I mean? It's like if you found out that your kid really liked apples and you were trying to get him to eat more fruit. You're like, yeah, you should eat this because it's good for you. I'm like, well, no, I don't want to. I want cake. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's how this kind of video thing irritates me. So that's why it irritates me so much. Like I said, presumptive and dismissive at the same time. Watch one of these videos again. You know, take a Pepsi challenge on this. Watch one of those videos again and see if you don't look at it a little differently and go like, yeah, that is kind of gross. It's like they're talking down to you without saying words. Sorry, I needed a little bit of tea. I felt it was coming. That really bugs me. I don't get that. It really irritates me. But anyway, so just know if you send me something like that, most likely I'm not going to read it. I'm not going to watch it. I'm just going to give it a thumbs up and keep it pushing. Find the original video. Send me that. You know what I mean? Send me the video of the person who actually did the funny, cool, amazing, ridiculous thing so I can support them instead of supporting somebody who wasn't funny and wasn't original but decides they're going to crib off of somebody else's content. I think that's another thing too. It feels like stealing. It feels like cheating. Like you didn't have the thought process or the creativity or the individuality to come up with something funny on your own. So what you're going to do is take somebody else's stuff and then pretend like you're having such a great time enjoying their content, which is just coattail writing, and you're not giving credit back to the original original video creator, because even if you do credit them, they're not getting the views. You are. You're siphoning views away from them. You want to do that kind of reaction content? Don't put your face in it except for like the very beginning of the video and the very end. Introduce the video. I think this is funny. Cut yourself out. At the end, go like, what did you think? Let me know. That would be a cool reaction video. I would watch those. Matter of fact, there's a comedian named Ron Funches who did something very similar. He's like, these are just videos I think are sweet. You know, watching babies smile at their mamas, but they can't stay awake. It makes me happy. And he just did that. He just showed videos. He didn't put his face over the top of them. He just said, here's stuff I like. Maybe you'll like it too. And it was really very wholesome, which was sweet. But he could have done something like, this is stuff I think is funny. And I'd have been like, all right, cool. Let's see what Ron Funches thinks is hilarious, because that dude's hilarious in his own right. So, but yeah, he did it right. So do that. Follow him too, by the way. If you find Ron Funches, F-U-N-C-H-E-S, funny comedian, great stuff. Don't know him personally, but I just thought about his video and that made me happier. Made me feel happier just thinking about that. Yeah, let's wrap it up with some video game news. Well, not video game, basically like geeky, goofy news. Sad news from the world of video games. Wayne June, the narrator from the Darkest Dungeon video game series, has passed away. It was undisclosed what his age or the cause of his death were, but there was a statement that was put out by the Darkest Dungeon development crew announcing the passing, and very little else, which I thought was kind of cool. They're like, we're just sad to see our friend is gone, and we ask that you respect the wishes of his family at this time. You'll be missed. Simple. That was it. They didn't make a big to-do about it, but it was just enough to let you know that they cared, you know, without drawing a lot of extra attention to this man and his family. So RIP to Wayne June. Actually a really great narrator, too. Even if you're not into the Darkest Dungeon video games, you should give the trailer a listen. He's got a great voice. Still waiting. I didn't calculate things right, and I didn't pay enough attention. Marvel Rivals' new content drop was going to include the Human Torch and the Thing. I thought it was supposed to come out this past week. I think it's actually not supposed to come out until closer to like Valentine's Day. But every time I go look for the information, it seems like it's been scrubbed from the internet. And again, I just found somebody else who makes like some kind of short form or long form content. And of course, they did the same thing. They're just like, hey, this is the thing that you wanted to know, right? Let me talk about it and put my spin on it. No, just give me the information. I don't need your spin. And it's not even creative spin. It's just like, I'm just going to say stuff. You know what I mean? And I also hate that too. When people have like a segment of text and they read you the text, but they put the text on the screen. It's like, everybody's got closed captioning, bro. And even if it's only half-assed because it is YouTube's closed captioning, we got that. Or you could just put a link in your video description. I'll go read the shit later, but tell me what you're thinking. If I want to hear your opinion, I want to hear your opinion. I don't want you to just regurgitate shit right back to me. You know what I mean? Like, I have my own internet. I got the same internet you got. You know what I mean? I can access the same CNN, Fox News, BBC, Al Jazeera. You know what I mean? Verve, kind of Games Radar. I can see all that stuff too. Just give it to me straight, Chief. Anyway, yeah, the Fantastic Four drops for Thing and Johnny Storm. It's actually not even Valentine's Day, just what I was looking for. It's coming closer to like the end of February, which is kind of a drag, but at least maybe it means I'll get some more time in with Sue Richards and Reed Richards between now and then. So I can practice up, polish up my game, and maybe be able to play another character besides just Venom. That would be cool, right? Be able to play as a different character besides the one you always get stuck as because everybody else wants to play all the fun ones. Yeah. Mantis players, you know what I'm talking about. You know what's up. If you play Mantis and Venom, you almost always get pushed into that role. It's not really necessarily your choice. You either need somebody who can attack the front lines real quick and do heavy damage, or you need a healer and nobody else wants to play. Somebody's already played Luna Snow and everybody hates Squirrel Girl. So, you know how it is. You know how it is. Anyway, speaking of the Fantastic Four, the new trailer for the upcoming Fantastic Four movie just dropped this week. And I am excited. It's weird. The Avengers universe and the Spider-Verse stuff has always seemed to be pretty solid. I'm going to talk about Spider-Verse in a minute because there's a reason. But some of the other ancillary properties that have come out from Marvel, since Disney's taken over Marvel, it's been kind of hit or miss. Same thing with Star Wars. And I don't know that they're either in touch with the fan base or if they're so concerned about making generational money that they're actually dumbing it down. And I'll explain, because some people are really a fan of a lot of the newer content. Some people are not. Most of the Star Wars fans that I know are not, generally speaking, overwhelmingly impressed with the latest batch of Marvel and Star Wars content that's come out. And I think one of the reasons why is because they've tried to Disney-fy it so much. It's one thing when you're making content specifically for children, but when you're taking a generational franchise, and, you know, I mean, these are timeless characters. These go back to, like, some of the Marvel characters go back into, like, the late 60s, early 70s. Same thing with Star Wars, back into, like, 77. So you're taking these things, these properties that are, you know, almost, in some cases, like, half a century old and more. And then you're trying to kiddify them in a way to kind of suck money out of pockets. But here's what didn't happen back in the day. They didn't do that. They didn't dumb down the property to the age level of the person reading it. No. They told an elevated story that was supposed to be able to encapture a certain ideal or to push a certain, a story concept. And it trusted the viewer or the reader, if you're talking about comics, it trusted the reader to be able to make their own evaluations. And again, this is kind of what I was saying about the video content creators. It's both presumptive and dismissive at the same time. Perfect example, the Book of Boba Fett. What the fuck was it, those Power Ranger fucking hover scooters? Did you really have to have them all be primary colors so we'd know that these were the same guys? You didn't have to do that. That was done for children. That was done by some marketing executive who said that. That was not a real Star Wars fan who made that choice. Because you know what? A lot of real Star Wars fans really hated Book of Boba Fett. And they definitely hated that shit. This, you know, Technicolor Power Rangers shit that was going on there, a lot of people were not hot on that at all. You know? And it's not in here. You look at something like Madam Web. That's a Sony thing. Not necessarily under the Marvel umbrella. Especially not under Disney's umbrella. But, you know, Madam Web. There's plenty of potential there for that character and that movie to be amazing. And it was garbage. It was absolutely terrible. And no, it's not because it was a woman-led, you know, and a woman-centric cast. You know what I mean? There's been other great shows that did it better and have done it before. In Birds of Prey, absolutely great series. If you've never seen it, go dig back in the CW library. But basically, it's like the ladies of the Gotham universe, you know, working together to fight crime. It's a fantastic show. And it wasn't just because the chicks were beautiful. It was because they actually had some character development. They stuck with storylines. They introduced characters from the DC / Batman universe that you wanted to see. They treated the property with respect. And they gave respect to the viewers to be like, we don't have to hold your hand and walk you through why you should like this. Which is what I think that the Marvel stuff has been doing of late. However, as I've gone on this little tangent here, this upcoming trailer, well, this new trailer that's out for the Fantastic Four looks to do anything but. People are already creating fan theories. They're trying to figure out where this fits into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I know I'm one of those people. Obviously, with the release of the Fantastic Four and the game Marvel Rivals, there might feel like there's a little bit of a crossover there, something playing into it because they have very similar outfits based off of, I mean, if you look at them in the game versus the movie, they're almost identical. I don't know what they're going to do with the thing in the final product, but it looks great. And then again, you watch the trailer, it looks fantastic and by fantastic, I'm not trying to make a pun, but it looks very well produced. It looks very highly stylized. It also looks to be kind of based in a 1950s, 60s era of exploration, science and industry boom kind of thing, which would have been right around the time the Fantastic Four would have come out in comics anyway, like late 60s into the early 70s. And the vehicle, the look of the world kind of has that similar kind of aesthetic, but it's a little twisted, a little tweaked. I mean, so it's a little on its side, which lends people to think maybe this is a multiversal thing. And then the reason they'll show up without having aged, you know, into the future with the other characters, you know what I mean? Because they would have been existing around the time of Captain America almost, you know what I mean? They would have been like 20 years after Captain America, but well before, you know, Sam Wilson. They would have been like, Steve Rogers would have been way back. They would have been in the middle, and then Sam Wilson would have been in the future. There's a bunch of different theories going around, and it looks like Marvel's actually doing it right. Take a minute to check out the trailer. If I can, I'll find a video and link it to you in the description so you can take a look. I think that you'll like what you see. If you're a big comic book head like me, you'll see a couple cool little Easter eggs just in the trailer itself. And I can't wait to hear what your fan theories are. If you want to, you can write me again over at Patreon, patreon.com/WanderingOneStudios. Love that for you guys. Love that for us. And we're going to wrap it up with one thing because I just actually did this. We were talking about how goods and services are going to be, they're going to be passing costs down to consumers, right? I've already seen some scarcity in just the grocery store over the last 2-3 weeks since the inauguration. And most specifically last weekend, I went to go and pick up just milk, and I walked past the eggs aisle because that was the big thing. Everybody, oh, the price of eggs is going through the roof. It will if every jackass in the world decides to buy 8 cartons of them at once. And so that was what was happening. I looked at the shelves and they were like picked over. It's like, good God, man. I don't know what the fuck people are thinking. Like, I mean, this is the same thing as like the toilet paper back during the pandemic. Why? Why are you doing that? It just, you can see that there's going to be some inflationary, you know, kind of practices are going to go on soon. Like what I was mentioning earlier, like I went to the store, the price of eggs hadn't really changed from like 1 week to the next, but you could see that there's going to be some economic prospecting because of the H5N1 flu that we talked about last week, where entire crops of chickens and ducks and such like that had to be put down because, you know, there were concerns that the virus was passing not only to humans, but was passing over to dairy cattle, and it was going to end up being in milk and stuff like that, right? So I started seeing people buying up eggs. I was like, what the fuck is going on here, man? Apparently you can freeze eggs for up to a year, which is wild to me. But they're just basically like, yeah, you can do it. And you have to thaw them overnight in the refrigerator or under running cold water, and you got to use them immediately as soon as they're done thawing. Just how greedy do you have to be to be like, I'm going to buy all the eggs, and you can't have none of these eggs because I'm putting them in my mini fridge. I'm like, what the fuck, bro? There's going to be more chickens, dude. Like, why are you like this? Anyway, speaking about the inflationary shit, I went to go because last night I was like, I don't have the beans to, you know, make food. I'm tired. I've been cleaning house all day long. I was doing laundry, you know, in between shifting in and out laundry and folding and putting away whatever I could, sweeping, mopping, dusting, all that jazz. I was trying not to handle the laundry as much as possible because I knew I was covered in dirt and grime. So I kind of left most of the laundry till the end of the day, at least the bulk of it, the heavy shit. I was just tired. So I decided I would order like a chicken sandwich, and there's a place nearby, Ruby Tuesdays, actually, if I remember correctly. They have like a grilled chicken sandwich, and I'm like, oh shit, I'll get 2 of those. And I looked at them, they're like $13, $14. I'm like, damn, that's expensive as hell. Well, this better be a badass chicken sandwich. When I got down to actually, you know, the delivery cost and a tip and, you know, the service fee, the fucking 2 sandwiches came out to $53. Here's the thing. Ordinarily, I would have said, fuck that, I'll make something. But at this point, it was already like 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. I'm like, I am not. I just know me. I'm not going to make anything. I would go to bed hungry. I'd wake up miserable the next day already. I knew I was just going to be sore, or at least at the very least, I was going to be kind of tired and still trying to be able to smell regular scents without smelling bleach. I'm just like, fuck it. Let's bite the bullet and order this $53 set of sandwiches. Ordinarily, you would never catch me doing some shit like this. I'd actually yell at somebody else if I saw them do it. I was just so exhausted and so hungry. I was like, I gotta do something. Can I tell you, when these fucking sandwiches arrived, the chicken was probably about the size of the opening of an average teacup. It wasn't even a full-ass chicken breast, bro. This thing looked like they took a whole chicken breast and cut it into two pieces and then cut those pieces into two more pieces and were like, you can have one. The fuck you mean? For that much money, I could have actually just taken out some chicken, cooked it myself, and taken some of my own bread. I have buns here. I don't have buns. I have bread here. At least I could have done that. Slapped them together and made my own chicken sandwich. I didn't need that shit. I was so furious, but I was also so hungry. I didn't even take a picture of the shit. I wanted to take a photograph of it so I could just be like, this is what I paid fucking $15 for? No, $53 after all the taxes and fees. This is what I paid $53 for? I just ate it and went to sleep. I was so fucking mad, dude. But this, again, this is what I'm saying when I say, like, you know, they're gonna, this is DoorDash, by the way, running this through Ruby Tuesdays. And so they're like, they're charging this much, and it's this shrinkflation kind of thing where we'll charge you just as much, if not more, for the same product, and you'll get way less. And the philosophy and the ideology behind it is, what are you gonna do about it? We've already got you over a barrel. It's 9 o'clock at night. The last thing you're going to do is take some shit out, thaw it, wait for it to get ready, preheat the oven, you know, tenderize the chicken, cut the breast, you know, fillet it just right, sear it on the grill, sear it on your pan, cut yourself some tomatoes and do that and make a whole ass sandwich. It'll take you half an hour to make the whole fucking sandwich. Or in a half an hour, we could drop off these two little dinky ass sandwiches and good luck. And that's how they got me. And that's why, it's one of the reasons why when my wife and I were talking about it a long time ago, because I don't have a conventional kind of 9-to-5 sort of job, so I have plenty of time to do other things around the house. One of the things I do is I take care of the majority of the shopping that gets done in the house. So if it's in this house and we had to go buy it, chances are I put my hands on it. You know what I mean? We get the odd thing from Amazon or whatever, like stuff she don't want to fucking get out and go to the store for. But like almost everything else I'll get. You know what I mean? Even stuff like she's like, oh, I need deodorant and this, that, and the other. I'm like, well, I'm going to go do this. So I'll just put it on the list. I'll get it. You know, she wants something like a shirt or some, you know, some clothes or something like that. Or maybe like an accessory for a computer. She'll order that. But even that, I'm like, fuck that. If I can get it, let's just get it. I'll just go get it. This printer ink one time. I was like, well, we could order printer ink online. Or we can get it like delivered via DoorDash. Or since I'm going to go to fucking Walmart, I'll just pick it up myself. But yeah, this is one of the things like DoorDash, Uber Eats, all these other services like that, like delivery services for goods and, you know, food and shit like that. They're passing the costs on too. They got me, and boy was I pissed about it. $53 for these. I'm telling you, if I showed you a picture of these sandwiches, I'm not even kidding. Like the chicken was about the size of the opening of a teacup. If it was 3 ounces of chicken, I'd have been surprised. It was the most rinky-dink ass sandwich I've ever seen. And I was like, I actually had to put extra food on the food to make it become food so I could eat it. You know what I mean? Like when I got here last night, it was hot, but by the time I got around to eating it, it was cold. So I took extra like ham and, you know, I took extra ham and tomatoes that I sliced myself and spinach and put it on the thing so I could actually have some food to my food. I was so pissed off, man. And if I had had the presence of mind to take photographs of these sandwiches, I would have, because I'd have been like, what are you fucking doing right now? Are you kidding me? I paid $53 for these? Somebody over there needs their ass beat. I want names. I want to know who made this fucking sandwich so I can hit him in the throat with a brick. It's $53 for this sandwich. It wasn't even the size of my palm. I picked the entire thing up. My whole hand covered the sandwich. And like, I could almost palm the sandwich, wrap my fingers all the way around it like it was a baseball. It's insane. Ugh. So you know what? Let's do this. I want you guys to do yourselves a favor. Carve out maybe 2 hours, 3 hours a week if you can. Just try it for a month. Just try it for a month. Carve out 2 or 3 hours a week and go and buy the shit that you would normally order from DoorDash or Amazon or, you know, Uber Eats or whatever. Go and pick it up yourself. And then I'd like you to just kind of calculate your savings based on what you normally would buy. Pick like a couple items that you buy like on a revolving basis every month. Pick those items and see what the cost is to have them delivered versus going and picking it up yourself. And here's the real funny thing about it. You factor in your own gas, you'll be surprised at how much money you're saving and how much more value you get by doing the shit yourself. Trust me, you'll see. All right, this has been a very long episode of the Wandering One podcast. I had a lot to say, and I had a lot of fun doing it, even though it didn't sound like it at first. My throat is starting to get a little raw, getting a little sore, and I need to go and lie down. I'm also getting really hot because I've been drinking hot tea. But again, remember to go check me out. Send me an email. Let me know how your stuff goes over the week. Any of the topics that you heard, you wanted to, send a comment or question about, email me over at patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. Check me out on Blue Sky. The link is going to be in the description. Go check out the Twitch channel, LinkIB. It's twitch.tv/LinkIB. I should be back next Monday, which if I remember correctly, I don't remember correctly. Let's not even try. Would be like the 10th, February 10th. So look for me somewhere between 3 and 4 p.m. Eastern Standard. Thank you to everyone for listening. Thank you for sharing the podcast. Thank you for all the support from Patreon. I appreciate you guys. I will get the content out. Just let me live, man. Let me live. Let me actually get my voice back to good. Hopefully I'll be able to record this stuff over the next couple of days and get it to you lovely patrons out there in the uni voice. There's a couple of things I wanted to talk about as far as animation, television, media stuff. Answering your questions, so please write the podcast or send me a message on Blue Sky at the Wandering One Studios Blue Sky. That would be great. And I'm Link Flores. You guys are dope as fuck. And I will see you a little further down the road. Peace. And let's hope that this cold, whatever it is, goes away real fast. Later, guys.